podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This week on the Marketers Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I'm delighted to be joined by JP Mason. Normally, JP, we're a trio. Normally, wee Declan is with us, but he's got a Bosman transfer to Tuesday, so we are awaiting his replacement. Hopefully, we can do the business a wee bit quicker than Celtic, and the replacement will be in before January, I'm pretty sure. How's your week been, JP?
Pretty good, man. Just readjusting to normality and playing football, working gigs, going to gigs. Was at the Barrowland last night for the first time since April the 2nd, 2019. And it was some buzz. Went to see the Snuts, the third of their three sold-out nights at the Barrowlands, which was an unbelievable achievement, especially as they're from just along the road from where I'm from. I obviously grew up in Bathgate, so they're Whitburn Loopy, and Whitburn's been the sort of cultural hotpot of musical talent over the years. So to see a band from there do that last night was amazing. And I was at Livingston on Sunday as well.
We might get into that one.
It was an arduous journey to get there. I DJed a wedding on Saturday night in Lookers, in a place called The Rind, which is just outside Lookers. And I put a tweet out to see if there was any Dundee supporters buses that were going, because I was staying at my mates in Dundee on Saturday night. He very kindly picked me up. Cheers, Adam. And there was no supporters buses travelling from Dundee to Livingston. So I had to get service buses because there was no trains. So service bus from Dundee to Glenrothes, Glenrothes to Dunfermline. And when I got to Dunfermline, I started contemplating in Dunfermline a taxi from Dunfermline to Livingston. Now, you might know the cost that would entail, but £65 was what I was quoted.
My word. And you could have just phoned me.
Bear in mind, I was trying to meet Declan, who had my ticket, because my pal had given Declan my ticket the night before. So, it was an interesting one. I got there, I got Dunfermline to Livingston, got there at 20 to 3. And having left Dundee at 11:37, so quite a trek, get there and then watch probably one of the worst Celtic games I've ever seen in my life.
Well, so, you brought it up, JP, so you know, let's run with that first and foremost. That shows you the dedication of Celtic fans from all over the place, obviously.
I don't go to games, apparently, you know.
What do you know? And obviously our massive Irish fan base who come over for the games as well, they're getting up dead early to get through. I thought it was bad enough travelling through for Fife sometimes, but obviously not as bad as the trip you've just had. And we've got people like friends of the podcast coming up from London on a weekly basis, coming up from Reading, if you're watching. Nicky, you know, big shout out to you as well, coming up from the Reading CSC and all over the country. trains, planes and automobiles just to get to Celtic Park or the away venue. And it was actually commented on by Joe Hart in relation to the fact that we had the three stands at an away ground. It's the first time he's seen it. Ange Postecoglou also commented on it, as did David Turnbull. And, they said they wanted to send the fans home happy. That didn't happen on Sunday. This is the first opportunity you've had, JP, on Axon to talk about where it all went wrong. We've been talking about it all week. I think that some of the broadcasts have been criticised for being too harsh and too critical. Other ones have been described as balanced. What's your take on it, JP? You've had a few days to think about Sunday's performance and, of course, the result. We're sitting here the day of the League Cup quarter-final against Raith Rovers, and we'll talk about that later. What's your thoughts on Sunday? Do we have an issue? Ange Postecoglou doesn't think it's a form issue, it's a results issue. I found that a wee bit strange when he came out with that one.
We lost to a team who were bottom of the league who hadn't won in 12 games or something like that. And they had a team with Jason Holt in midfield. Now, no disrespect to Jason Holt, but it's just, it was embarrassing. I stood there looking around that ground, which I've been at that ground, a lot over the years. My pal and his dad were big at Livingston, are big Livingston fans, and have been since the birth of Livingston. So I sometimes went along with them if Livingston were playing and Celtic weren't. I'd go along and watch Livingston in the early days. We're talking like Jim Leishman, so like David Bingham playing. Guys like
Fernandes.
Just a wee bit before Fernandes. So it was like when they were in like the third division and second division and stuff like that. So, they had a decent team and they had the momentum and everything, and then obviously they got into the Premier League. But I was just looking around at the three stands and thinking, we've got three full stands here. They can barely fill one. And they're beating us 1-0, and we've got the disparity in wages and transfer fees and everything else. You're just thinking, how is this possibly happening? Mm-hmm. And my mate Scott is a big Livy fan. Texted me afterwards and just was like, what happened? And I went, well, I actually don't know. I think we just seem so. It's been mentioned a lot that we thought we could just play football to get out of it, and it was clear that wasn't going to work. We had to, adjust, but we didn't have the personnel to adjust. We didn't have guys in there with, it's a bit cliched, but with dig, and that would just sort of, battle us through that game and get us out of there with, at least a point. When they scored, I actually started thinking, I'd take a point from this. Right now, I'd take a point. And the way the other game went, you would have taken a point because it would have just meant, we were each peachy, the same as where we were before. But it didn't work out like that. And it was a sorry, sorry watch. At no point did I get excited. At no point did I really think we were going to score here. I was sitting next to a guy from Bathgate who'd come along the roads and got a ticket outside the ground, a bit older than me, went to the same primary school. I obviously didn't know him. We knew some of the same people. And the two of us were just stood dumbfounded at what we were watching. It wasn't in any way rip-roaring, free-scoring, but it was boring.
Yeah, it was pretty boring. We'll talk. There's a few aspects of that game I want to bring up, and one of the things you mentioned there was we didn't have the personnel, and that is one of the considerations that we really need to raise when we're in a scenario where you go down 1-0 25 minutes into the game. You expect, if an hour into the game nothing's changed, then you're going to have to make that change, be that personnel or shape or just the style of your play. That didn't seem to happen, and that was a concern for me. And people are saying, well, Ange doesn't have the personnel. I got that feeling big time when we were playing Real Betis, and we didn't make a great deal of change during that game. But when you're looking at the bench against Betis, you can understand why. There was absolutely no offensive kind of options on the bench, JP. There was no strikers on the bench. There were three players sitting on that bench who had never played competitively for Celtic. So I get that, absolutely do. Against Livingston, there are other changes you could have made. I mean, yesterday I was talking to one of our contributors, and the discussion was along the lines of, you know, to change the game, some people, you're watching it and you instinctively think it needs to be an offensive change, JP. You need to throw on a creative play. You need to throw on a striker. Not always. I mean, a change could have been Ralston and Montgomery, who, you know, going forward have been pretty impressive for Celtic. I don't think we were getting enough from Abada and Yota. I think that they have shown up in the last few weeks as being players who don't do, you know, that defensive work that well so far, JP. I'm not saying that that's part of their game that's not going to improve. Mm-hmm. And you think of the last season who we had in maybe on the right and on the left, Christie and El Yunusi, who were pretty good at that. They were pretty good at getting the ball back, in the attacking half of the park or the attacking third. So that is an issue that we really need to look at. You then look at the options behind those players. Forrest coming back in, and on the left-hand side, Mikey Johnson, who made an appearance. How is their defensive play? Because in order for us to beat a team like Livingston, that you called it dig earlier on, that is part and parcel of the game. You know, you've got to actually win the ball. And I'm looking at Yota and Abada, and I've not seen a great deal of that from them. Does that concern you slightly? Because there's a lot more fixtures like the one we've seen on Sunday to come.
It does concern me. It concerns me that the names you just mentioned there of previous substitutes, you know, like Christie, like El Yunusi. El Yunusi is now playing semi-regularly for an English Premier League team, you know. And Christie, you know, whether you want to criticise Christie or not, and the club that he's chosen to go to in Bournemouth are, you know, a Championship team playing at a decent level. He's playing, you know, I think I looked at their lineup recently and they've got some decent players alongside him, and he's playing for them. So, look, and then you're saying we could have brought on Montgomery and Ralston to change the game, and that I don't like talking about this sort of downsizing thing, because I don't subscribe to the fact that there's been a tactical downsizing of Celtic. I just think it's been poor decisions and poor transfer activity that has led us. Aligned to the fact that we chased a manager for 4 months and then he backed out and we had to sort of, you know, wrap it up and start again at the very last minute. So the fact that you're, and I heard you say that about Ralston and Montgomery, and I was like, that kind of just rang a huge alarm bell in my head going, that is our options right now. That is what we have, you know, potentially to come on. And I looked at Beaton as he was warming up. He was right in front of me, and I just looked at Beaton and I was like, what are you going to do when you come on? You're not going to change the game in a way to affect it in terms of you've got screamers in your locker. I know he scored a couple of goals over the course, but he wasn't the type of guy that was going to come. And I saw him at one point at a corner kick, like clapping his hands and rallying the troops. And I'm like, Nir Beaton is rallying our troops. That is what's happening. A guy that's played 238 games in 8 years at Celtic. Mm-hmm. He is the guy that is rallying our troops. And it made me even more deflated about the scenario that I was in Almond Vale, Tony Macaroni, whatever it's, you know, called, and just looking at a half full Livingston stand and three stands of us, and that's what's happening on the pitch. It was mental.
I'm expecting, I will work my way through the comments, I'm expecting some people to say, you know, what is Dykes talking about, changing the game with Ralston Montgomery. My thinking with that, JP, is Montgomery likes to run at players. I mean, yes, he does have very good defensive attributes. I think even the lost art of tackling, he's very good at that. And, you know, physically, I don't think he looks like much of a threat. But actually, when you watch him, you know, in terms of winning the ball back, he's very good at it. But he runs at players. It's a different challenge for their right back to contend with. So too would have been the switching of Abada and Yota. That, I find that quite puzzling when both of those players can play right and left. Why don't just you give their fullback something different to think about, you know, especially with Abada, who I don't think has been that effective in the last few games that he's played. The last two or three games he's played, he's been very quiet. So switch him over, see if he gets more joy at the right back rather than the left back. And with Ralston, he is definitely a player who, for me, he's an honest pro, but he's a guy who would give you that dig that you're talking about. He knows this fixture. He knows the circumstances of playing Livingston, who have got 9-10 men behind the ball. And one thing that he does very well is hit the line and get a crossover. You know, he does do that. And I know that we did get a lot of crosses into the box, but Ralston's particularly good at that.
Well, he got a goal in Spain. And, you know, people criticised his performance prior to that. But he found a bit of form in the last 15 minutes of that game that got us a goal. And it was his determination and drive in the box to win that header. It was a brave header, stuck his head in and got it. And that allowed us, you know, to maybe have a slight opportunity of maybe getting a point from that game, which at one point when it was 4-2, you were thinking this is going to go 5-6-7. So Ralston coming on at a latter part of the game could have been the catalyst to, and again, it sounds absolutely insane to be thinking that Anthony Ralston, a guy who's not played anywhere near the amount of games he should have done for his level of time at the club, you know, that guy could have come on and made a difference and got us a point. And again, got us a point, you know.
I know.
It's absolutely baffling to think that we're scraping around. And I know that, you know, Kev said and other people have said, you know, oh, these things are going to happen.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh yeah, love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile, unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer, new customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line, tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
I mean, really, to Livingston at home, away, you know, with three stands, I know we've struggled there. I know that we haven't won there since 2007 or whatever. But going into those previous games, Livingston have always had a bit of form. And that, you know, that's what I said to my mate Scott. I was like, you know, in the past, there's been momentum going into the games and Livingston have had a decent run. But, I mean, they're going in on Sunday and not chaos or disarray, but, I mean, you were starting to be question marks about the manager probably, and then you've seen him celebrate on the sidelines like he's won a cup and stuff like that. And then they go and throw goals into the net last night at Ibrox.
See, the big thing as well, though, JP, and I know that there has been the addition of a staff member behind the scenes. We were talking about it yesterday. When we know that we have an issue with a particular team, when we know that we find it difficult to go to a particular stadium, then you should be able to, prior to that game, obviously, already deal with these issues. They shouldn't be coming as a surprise at 25 minutes when you go a goal down. It shouldn't be a surprise 70 minutes in when you're looking at your bench thinking, oh, how do I change this? That should all be in place. All the contingencies should be in place. And I think that becomes quite frustrating. And I'm hoping that with the addition of the new member of staff, who is Anton McElhone. Talking of Antons, I'm going to be mentioning another Anton in a few seconds, not Rogers. Anton McElhone, who is the head of sports science. We're hoping that some more staff members come in so that, you know, I'm not going to say we weren't prepared for it, but we kind of approached that game as we always do at Livingston, and we got, you know, the same result. And it's about time that we maybe changed the approach there. That is gone. I don't think there are too many more slip-ups like that if we want to be challenging for the league title. JP, on Axom, if I'm not on it, I'm behind the camera making sure that it's all working. So I know everything that's said on Axom, and at no point has anybody commented that Ange should be relieved of his duties or anywhere near that. I've not seen the knee-jerk that a lot of people think is happening here. Maybe it's happening in the comments, maybe it's happening elsewhere. But one thing's for sure, I don't think any manager is beyond criticism. You take all the mitigating circumstances into consideration, JP, but that's not the be-all and end-all. So when I'm hearing Ange at the kind of pre-match press conference, I do find Ange very watchable. I do like the cut of his jib, as it were. And he says, "I didn't have a great day in the office, mate." And you know when he calls somebody mate, that he isn't actually thinking mate. Mm. "He didn't have a great day in the office, but you can't have too many of those throughout a season." You know, I remember a couple of seasons now ago when we went to Olivia and they beat us 2-0 and London Knights gave Julian a torrid time of it. And there's that picture because Neil Lennon hooks off Scott Brown, the captain, and you're just thinking, oh no, we're devoid of ideas here. We were able to turn it around that season. We won the league that season. But I had the same kind of feeling. It was almost as if they've got the beating of us and they shouldn't have the beating of us. You're not entitled to beat anyone. That isn't being disrespectful, JP. You're talking about a disparity. And even though you've got a new manager in, even though there's been a huge turnover of players, even though we've got about 10 guys on the sidelines unfit and injured, we still should have enough in the locker to come away with something from that game. Do you agree?
Yes, but like you said, to give him a bit of slack, in normal times, had he come in at the right time, and had been allowed to, and the squad had been managed better in the last, say, 18 months, 2 years, I think he would have been better equipped to deal with that game yesterday.
Even just the striker scenario, JP. We've lost four, we've brought two in.
I know, I mean, like, Eddie's down there tearing it up with Crystal Palace, scoring two in his debut, and, as much as anybody can say anything about Odson Edouard, I'm pleased for him that he scored those goals. And, you know, it's hard when you lose a player that's been so good for you. But, you know, he did a lot of good things for Celtic. And so fair play to him. But, like, that leaves us so short. You know, when you're looking at the lineup for tonight and it's only a Yeti, there's no other option. I think maybe the Giamakis is going to be hopefully involved because he's obviously been training, so you'd like to think he'd be at least on the bench, so that kind of bolsters that a bit. But he wasn't about on Sunday against Livingston, so we didn't have that option. Mm-hmm. And yet he wasn't getting any real joy, so I think there was the 2-0 game against Livingston, was that not when Christie got sent off in the first half?
Yeah, it was.
I was there as well. I was at that, and that was horrible because it was a moment of madness from Christie, and then we were 10 men for three quarters of the game or something like that. So, I mean, that one you can allow for that for being 10 men, but Sunday we had our full quota and it just honestly felt like we could have played another half an hour and not scored. And
no, we would never have figured it out.
Yeah, you get those games from time to time, but it was a bit concerning just because the window's shut. You know, we've got no opportunity to go and get anybody else now until January. So, you know, we're just kind of on the edge of our seats hoping that no other big injuries come along. I mean, McGregor's going to be back. I think they said he's going to be back after the international break next month. Mm-hmm. So he's missing a chunk of games, European games, you know, where he's been, you know, pretty good in Europe, you know, Callum McGregor. And we're not playing, Bayer Leverkusen, do you know what I mean? We're not playing any, this isn't the qualifiers now, this is the meat and drink.
It's the real deal now, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you managed to catch yesterday's show, JP. I know you're a busy man. Peter Levery is asking if there's any more prizes today. Great crack yesterday. Well, I wasn't planning to, but it's just occurred to me that other than the match day, I won't be back on the Axon Bulletin until next Thursday because mm-hmm. I was only standing in yesterday for Colin Watt. And I'm going to do that thing where you break the fourth wall and ask Kelvin, who's our videographer here at Axon. Kelvin, hello. Kelvin, look at that. He's so engrossed in his work that he can't even...
Yeah, the thing is, now that I've been in the studio, I know what you're looking at and I know where he is.
He does exist. He does exist. Just for the benefit of the doubt, he is there. could you give me that shamrock top, the one that we've got the Axon crest on? Just because Paddy asked for it, right? We've got another two jerseys. I'm going to throw another one out there. Because it was a good bit of crack. I'm just trying to think of a question. That'll come to me. We'll talk about other things. And then at some point today, maybe about 40 minutes in, we'll give away another jersey. That's great. All you need to do is subscribe. And if you're subscribing, there we go. See, there is somebody else in here with me. It's not just me. So this is the Shamrock top. Now, it's a much better green than that. But it just shows you how peely-wally I look when you look at that, it's emerald green, right? But in real life, it's much, much better looking. And we've got the embroidered badge, old school. This nice. Is based, obviously, on the 1950s and 1960s Shamrock jersey that Celtic wore. And they never, ever wore it under Jock Stein. The last time they wore it was the final game managed by Jimmy McGrory. So there you go. So we've done a wee concept kit. This will be going out to someone today. I've not decided what the question is. I might even let JP come up with a question. And the first correct answer will win the jersey. All right, there we go.
I can give you one. But we don't need to do it now, but I've just thought of one. It's related to something we were talking about before we came on here.
Right, we'll give it about 10 minutes and you can throw it out there.
Aye, by the way, just on the subject of strips, did you see that? There was somebody, there was one of these Twitter accounts that are just, you don't know who they are, they're just, you know, there's like Highland Paddy and Ordinary Boy and all that, but somebody tweeted a picture of a game where Celtic were playing a team and they got made to wear orange socks. You're going to know this. You're bound to know this, you know, football strip stuff. What game was it?
Leeds United, European Cup semi-final. Yes. The two away kits, the two change kits that Celtic could have taken the socks for from Leeds were orange or blue. So they've obviously gone for orange. And Jock Stein said something along the lines of that once the floodlights shine on them, they'll look gold. So it'll be like green, white and gold. But they had to wear these kind of dark orange socks against Leeds United down at Elland Road.
The pictures were brilliant. Like whoever it was, whatever account it was that shared it, the pictures were absolutely amazing. Just to see, just like, you've obviously never seen it before. And like they were really good quality pictures as well with the crowd in the background and all that. It was class.
Remember we brought back the black socks for a wee while? Remember that?
Yeah.
For the home kit. Never really worked, did it?
Nah, it doesn't look right.
It's got to be white. In fact, I quite like the hoop socks as well. Anyway, we digress. We digress. There is so much more to discuss. Well, we need to talk about Raith Rovers, right? So, obviously, I'm a Fifer. Maybe not, obviously. Perhaps it is. I've been called a tutor enough times on this channel. I'm a Fifer, and 27 years ago, one of my local clubs beat us in the Coca-Cola Cup final. It was a shocker. They've never been back to the quarterfinals of the League Cup since 1994. I hope that's not an omen. But we face them tonight in the quarters of what is now the Premier Sports. I never go with the sponsors' names. It's the League Cup for me. It used to be the Coca-Cola Cup. If you want to...
Skull Cup.
The Skull Cup. Yes, I remember that well. Hagar the Horrible. if you check the State of Mind YouTube channel out, which is the one that you're going to subscribe so that you can comment and then win the Shamrock jersey later, we have interviewed three Raith Rovers players over the last 12 months. We've interviewed former Celt Robbie Thompson, he's a goalkeeper who I think will be on the bench. We've also spoken to a fantastic young player called Lewis Vaughan, who's a goal scorer who's come back from a double cruciate ligament injury and he's back in amongst the goals. And Ross Matthews, who's a kind of holding midfield player. So there are three Raith Rovers interviews on our channel if you want to check them out from three particularly good players. Now, manager John McGinn, we know, John McGinn, I kind of get him out of my mind. John McGlynn, we know all about him as well, JP. He's worked with Ronnie Dialett and Brennan Rodgers at Celtic within the scouting department. So far this season, played 11, won 7, drawn 1, lost 3. They knocked Aberdeen out of the last round. And what I'm going to ask you, based on what we've just seen on the weekend, is it a potential banana skin or are we facing Raith Rovers at the best possible time where we're fired up to prove to the Celtic fans that that isn't going to be the state of play this season?
Well, as a supporter, because that's what I am, I wanted to go to this game to try and banish Sunday out of my mind. So if I am as a supporter, I'm wanting to do that, then I really, really hope the players are, you know, another level of wanting to do that and banish Sunday from their recent memory, because you've got an opportunity now to play at Celtic Park. You know, you've got the big pitch. You're back where you know you've done damage in recent weeks. 6-0s and the likes. Don't care if it's a 6-0 tonight or not. I just want to see the team playing well. If the team play well and we win 1-0, I'm happy with that. You know, I just want to see us back on the horse, so to speak, and obviously concerned that, you know, I mean, I watched a little bit of that Rangers game last night, and Livingston, you know, 0-0 at half time, you know, and obviously they got the first goal, and then that kind of changed the psychology of the game, and then Livingston just decided to, you know, completely capitulate and give them the ball a couple of times actually before they actually got their second goal. So I mean, these games, it's a big game for Raith Rovers. They'll, you know, be well aware of the past in terms of what their predecessors did. I can't believe it was 27 years ago, by the way. That's absolutely madness. Yeah, they'll be aware of that, and they'll be, you know, looking to make a name for themselves. We just need our big players to show up and show why they've been signed for Celtic, and do it for the manager as well, because I'm pretty sure that they're, you know, all on board with Postecoglou, judging by Christie's comments, you know, from he's the guy that's left, obviously. But I read his comments. He didn't need to say what he said. You know, he said, you know, I was a bit sad that the timing of this was that I didn't get more time to play under Ange Postecoglou, because I like him and mm-hmm. I think he's going to do well and things like that. So Christie didn't need to say that. So you'd like to think that the squad mentality is good, regardless of the result on Sunday. So yeah, I'm going in tonight optimistic, and I know that there's obviously the bad omens from the League Cup final in '94, which, by the way, there they are. That's mine and my dad's tickets from that night. I was in the Copeland Road stand, so I was in the stand behind the goal that the penalties weren't taken into. So I was looking at the other side of the ground. Mm. I'll never forget when McStay missed. The whole of that stand to my right, that was all the Raith Rovers fans, and I just saw it in the corner of my eye, just go like that. And it, like, you could just see everybody in unison all jump, and then everybody just slumped and walking out of the ground, and they just kept playing that Coca-Cola theme over and over and over again. The stars will always shine, the birds will always sing. As long as there is Coke, there's always the real thing. And if I ever hear that now, I just think straight away.
I support you back.
Oh, aye. And I remember being in the car on the way home, and I didn't speak to my dad. I was just sitting with my head in my hands, like completely, you know, I was in a bad way. But to counter that, that strip is the strip that we were wearing when we beat Raith Rovers in the League Cup on this day in 2015. And there's your question 10 minutes ago. That was 10 minutes. So there's your question. Who scored the goals that day when we beat
Raith Rovers? Right, let's get stuck in about the comments section. Who scored the goals when Celtic last faced Raith Rovers 6 years ago and won 2-0? Who scored Celtic's goals? I can almost hear people frantically going into the Celtic Wiki. Right, here's the first answer.
On Celtic Wiki, by the way, there's some brilliant patter. I think this is great that he or she has included comments from Kerrydale Street at the time. And suave boy of Kerrydale Street, absolutely dire, but got the job done and we go into the half of the next round. What else? To add, Callum McGregor is not good enough to merit a start ever again. Wow. He should be punted at the earliest opportunity, along with the bright spark that gave him a 5-year contract. No harm to the boy, but he's P-I-S-H.
Wow. Wow, it's incredible. I wonder what it would have been like during the Jock Steen's time, you know, if we had social media. It would have gone into meltdown, because you've just got this vision that they all played tremendously well every single week. But when you speak to people who were at the games and they go on about wee Jinky getting a hard time and having a bad running form, you're thinking, no, that didn't happen. Surely that didn't happen. Get rid of them. Right.
Somebody else said, I suppose the most important thing is that we are only 3 wins away from winning a trophy. But this competition is well past its sell-by date, which I agree with, by the way. That is mental, that we could win tonight, play one more game, and then we're in the final. That's not a cup. For me, that's not a cup. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
No, you know, I get what you mean. Now, unless someone wants to come in and tell me that someone answered this earlier, Patrick McFarlane. Is he right?
Yeah,
there you go. Now, Get in touch with me, please, and tell me where you live, and I'll get the jersey sent out. It is a Celtic Shamrock jersey for the 1950s and 60s, but it does have the Axon crest. It's a one-off. We're not making these to sell them. It's a concept jersey. We gave away a couple yesterday. We've given away another one. And when I'm on the show, on the bulletins, I'm going to be doing this kind of thing. I think it's good to get people involved. And it brings up, it sparks up memories of people like Commons and Johansson. And we could spend a wee bit of time talking about them. But you know what? There's loads of other things to talk about. Chris Commons, I've not heard much for him lately. He kind of fell out of favour with Celtic fans when he went into punditry. Where is he these days? Is he still sticking about in every opportunity? Or
I don't know. It wasn't popular among some of the people that I sit with anyway. My friend Craig used to say, oh, he's only good for a goal. He never does anything else. All he does is score. I'm like, well, we're quite a lot. So, but, you know, he might not have been the greatest player ever to play for Celtic, but...
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
He did give us a lot of good moments. It saddens me when players, you know, go into the media and, you know, just obviously try and make a name for themselves put the boot into everybody, but it stings when it's like, you know, you're getting the boot put into you by a guy that's worn the Celtic shirt, you know.
You can take it. You can take it, JP, if it's not agenda-driven. You can take it if they're not just being shock jocks, you know. Mm. And I think that's where there's a difference between the sensationalism a lot of the time of what some of these ex-Celtic players say. Mm. And then guys like Chris Sutton, who, you know, he'll stick the boot in, but he'll also stand up for Celtic. And a lot of the people that he stuck the boot into, he was right. You know, he was actually right. And then sometimes he's been proven wrong and he'll step down as well. So I think it's all about whether or not there's an agenda that you're driving. And if it's because this is your view and this is the reason why it's your view, then that's fine. But sometimes, as you say, people are taking a nibble just for the sake of it, just so that they know they'll get the reaction. And they know that they're going to get a negative reaction. Anything I've ever said or done, and I'm not putting myself in the same bracket as these pundits, I've never ever done it because I know it's going to get a negative reaction, JP, because it's not that nice when you say something that then gets a negative reaction. So I would never do it on purpose. But I think a lot of these people do. They know they're basically throwing a grenade in and they're just going to watch the thing explode. Mr. McFarlane, you can get in touch with me on social media. You can tweet, Facebook message, or just email me directly, pauljohndykes@gmail.com. And on the back of that, quite a few of our listeners did get in touch. So thank you very much for doing that. And, you know, people from Bahrain and Australia and various other places, I will get back to every individual email that comes in because it's all Celtic related, JP. It's all about talking about Celtic. And some of these people can't watch the show live because they're in a different part of the world. Mm. And we want to be able to get you to engage. But here's a thing that we're going to do as well, which I was talking about last week. You know, the people that are buying the merchandise on the website, because obviously that's one of the ways that we're able to finance what we're doing. We're going to invite them all into bulletins like this, where it's a kind of behind closed doors bulletin, so they can actually come in with two or three of the pundits, JP, and get involved in a proper bulletin. But we won't put it out live, just in case. All right. and we'll probably get like one or two at a time to come in and chew the fat about Celtic with two or three Axon contributors. And then we'll edit it if edits are required and then fire it on the YouTube channel. But it just allows people who are supporting the channel to get that wee bit back, actually in you come. And if you can come into the studio, even better. But if not, we'll deal you in. So yes, I've kept you up on the screen. Well done, you've won the prize. Get in touch, and thanks for supporting A Celtic State of Mind. Now, we've been talking about Raith Rovers. We've got to have a wee chat about tonight's game. Celtic, sometimes you don't know what Celtic you're going to get, and sometimes that happens all in the same game. We've seen that a few times in Europe. I'm looking at the lineup, and what I'm going to do, JP, I'm going to give you what I would play and my rationale behind it. And if there's anybody in here that I'm unaware of that can't actually play tonight for any number of reasons, give me a shout. So a part of this team is playing it safe, but another part is squad management, giving some guys a rest, but also just trying to give others some game time so that when you're in a European game, you're not looking at your bench and seeing two or three guys that have never kicked a ball for Celtic. So I'm starting with Joe Hart, and he's the captain for me tonight. I would never make the error of throwing in Scott Bain, for example. I've seen that happen before in cup games, JP, but I just think tonight, no, that's not what we want. You know, you want Joe Hart in there. I mean, another couple of good saves against Livy at the weekend, you know, added to the five that he made against Betis. I'd bring back Tony Ralston. I think he was unlucky to lose his space because he was ill. I'd bring him back. I just think we need his drive, his dig in a game like tonight. We need to get back to basics in that respect. And Juranovic, I would actually put Juranovic on the bench. I would bring in Adam Montgomery. I think he was a guy that I wanted to see on Sunday. I think that he's a fearless young man at this moment in time, as a lot of young players are when they come into the team. He's not scared to run at players, but he does have the defensive attributes as well. And I don't think so far from what I've seen, and I've only seen Bolingoli playing one game this season, that Bolingoli and Juranovic are being deployed as effectively in this inverted fullback role as Montgomery and Ralston have been. And that was another reason that I would have made the change on Sunday. So that's how I would set up. In the central defensive area, what I would do is Carter Vickers is one of the first names on the team sheet for me at the moment. He's your first choice centre back. The question is, do you rest Welsh? It's not so much resting Welsh. I would like Liam Scales to come in and get a game. I'd like to see him playing in his favourite position, which is the left side of the centre-half. We need to try and get games in these guys' legs, JP, for the eventuality of another couple of injuries and you're going to throw them in. Let's not throw them in. Let's get them bedded in properly. The midfield, people might disagree with this. I'm going to keep James McCarthy in if he's fit to play, because there's nothing worse than not playing your best and then getting dropped. It's going back to the point you made. You just want to get back into this here. I think it's the same for a player who's not performed that well. Yeah. You know, don't drop them. Get them back in. And I think Liam Shaw has been described by our very own Alan Morrison previously as a Joe Ledley type player, that old-fashioned box-to-box type. And I think that he'll be doing the running and McCarthy will be doing the shutting down if necessary. And by the way, he's no slouch himself, McCarthy, going forward. I would keep Turnbull in. Again, I don't think he's on the best running form, but that's why I wouldn't drop him. And I'd play him as my number 10. On the right-hand side, Jota, from what I've seen, he's more effective on the right. And I think Abada has been pretty poor over the last two or three games that he's played. And I'm going to play Mikey Johnson on the left-hand side, because it's now or never for me when it comes to Mikey Johnson. I know he wasn't great when he came on, but that's because he'd been out for ages. He's just coming back from injury. He needs game time. Give him an hour tonight and then maybe think about that change. Jota back on the left, Abada coming in. And of course, Ayeti on the... as the lone striker, because he's the only one we've got. Although I think Giakoumakis might be on the bench tonight. So that's my thinking tonight, JP. Bit of experience, bringing back a couple of guys that I think we can rely on, and giving debuts to the two Liams and Sean Scales at centre-half and centre-mid. What's your thoughts, and how would you shape up this evening?
I mean, if we want to go back, and I've got the team from that game 6 years ago sitting here next to me. So Gordon was in goal. I think he was the number one choice at the time. Pretty sure he was. He must have been. Sadie Yanko at right back.
Where is he now? Where is Sadie Yanko?
He did not end up at quite a decent club. I think
he did. He's had a couple of decent moves. He's obviously got the same agent as Kazim Richards. He always manages to get a good move.
Effie Ambrose. Who's at St Johnstone now? Tyler Blackett, a young upstart prodigy by the name of Kieran Tierney, who, I mean, at that point, 6 years ago, I mean, that's like not long after his first game. Scott Brown, Stefan Johansson, Callum McGregor, who was obviously not didn't enamour a fan in a positive way. Chris Commons, Gary Mackay Stephen, and Nadir Chifchi.
Oh, I think I think the team I've read out is maybe even better than the one you've just read out there.
Yeah, so I mean, like that. I mean, apart from maybe Mackay Stephen and Chifchi, that was a kind of, well, again, the defence is probably not, wasn't it? The bench was Izaguirre, Stokes, Rogic, Lustig, Baye, Forrest, and Aidan Nisbet, who made his debut that night. So I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, like, as I said before last week, you know, it's kind of hard to second guess Ange Postecoglou because he's not really, he's just in the door. He's not got a settled side. Who knows who he can trust yet? You know, can he trust these guys to come in and make debuts in a game like this when the pressure's on? Where's Starfelt? Is Starfelt back in the reckoning? McCarthy, you're having a giraffe. No, I do think McCarthy should start on the basis that you want him to have a game to flush that out of his system, to flush Sunday out of his system.
And like, he's not going anywhere, JP. He's not like on a 6 month loan. He's here for 4 years. You know.
I know. And yeah, you need to play your way out of that. And whether it was the pitch, whether it was the formation, whether it was the opposition, I have no idea why.
Bit of fitness with the COVID as well.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, he really, really didn't look like a Premier League player. You know, on Sunday it was awful at times for him. But you know, everybody knows that he's a good player and has played at a really high level. We just all hope and pray that he can get back to that at Celtic. So there's no point in binning him on the basis of that. Well, what's he going to do? Go into some sort of footballer rehab? You know, where he like relearns the game. The only way you can get back at it is by playing another game. And you know, obviously, if he plays tonight and has another nightmare, then we're maybe having a different discussion. But I think he's got to be given the opportunity to come back in tonight. The rest of the team, can't really argue with that. I'd like to see Mikey Johnson given a chance as well. If he's fit enough to start, then he probably should start, because Jota and Abada didn't really set the world on fire on Sunday to the point that if you were taking a jersey off them and giving it to Mikey Johnson, that it would be a bad thing for them, you know, like to not play again. You know, it's one of those ones where it's like you weren't going to take the jersey off Ralston to give it to Juranovic because Ralston was playing really well, whereas Jota and Abada, you know, it's from Sunday's game that was kind of one and the same, really. They didn't really offer that much. So Johnston could come in. I would like to see Montgomery at left back. I don't want to see Bolingoli at left back. I don't know why he was brought back in on Sunday. I don't know. I don't get it. I know a lot of people are willing to give him another chance, and you know, his only crime was being amorous or whatever. And it's like, no, his crime was that he went against everything that everybody was being told to do at that time, and went away to another country.
It's just ill discipline, absolutely.
And risked our health of our squad, and then the games goes postponed as a result of his actions. I know that we're always being taught to forgive, but you know, I'm sorry, but I can't, that level of, you know, impudence, if that's the word, and it's not for me.
That was at the time as well where, you know, we actually thought he was going to get Scottish football shut down again, you know, when these things were happening, because, you know, it had already been closed down the previous year. We had just started getting back into playing. We knew the fans weren't going to be back, but you were just waiting for that announcement on a Thursday to say, right, we're going to lock it down again. And then all these wee things were adding to that concern, JP, you know. So it is something I was going to bring up in terms of Bolingoli. But there is a kind of left field request here, and we'll see what people on the chat think. This is from someone on the other side of the globe. I understand the Celtic Rangers history, but question, do fans ever mix socially and leave football, religion, politics aside? Now, JP, I'll ask you that question first. Do you have friends who are Rangers fans?
Yes, of course I do.
You do? And when you meet up with them, I mean, what's the chat? I mean, is it always Celtic Rangers chat?
No, I do you know, I got a Facebook memory recently, you know, these Facebook memories come up, and one of them was I'd put a post up saying the social experiment of watching a Celtic Rangers game with Gavin Marshall is one that I won't repeat. So I watched the game. I watched an actual Celtic Rangers game. Must have been a game at Ibrox where I couldn't get a ticket with Gav, and I'm pretty sure Rangers won, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. Because he's not shy in letting you know what's happened and everything else. So, and back in the day, before I was a season ticket holder in the sort of mid-90s, I used to go to my friend Colin and Paul's, the brothers, both Rangers fans, and it would be me and Ian Shaw and Joe sometimes as well, and we would be the Celtic fans and they would be the Rangers fans. We'd watch it together in the living room. And never got nasty or anything like that. You know, we were really, really close, good pals. You know, we just did that. I mean, as for mixing socially, you're not likely to find me in the Loudon Tavern anytime soon, or any of those pubs out that way. Put it that way. But you know, I got mates that are Rangers fans, and you know, I don't think it's an issue. I think it is an issue with the extremists in the group. Who wouldn't entertain having a pint with someone called John Paul. Maybe they'd be happy that my surname's Mason, but...
Wow, brilliant. No, good question. Very interesting question, and thanks for filling us in there, JP. But when we are looking at the Mikey Johnson situation, Robert Hyland comes in, he reckons that Mikey should be moved on in January. I think, to be honest with you, between now and January is a massive, massive period of time in Mikey Johnson's Celtic career, and indeed his football career, JP, because a lot of these young players come in, they show some great promise. A lot of Celtic players reckon he's the most skillful player at the club. But if he doesn't make an impact, you do start wondering if he's got any kind of long-term career at Celtic.
Yeah, you do. I mean, because he's been one of these guys that's kind of... There's always these guys that come through and kind of threaten to do well, and you kind of think, right... But then you think back, it's been, what, 3 or 4 years now that he's been threatening to do well and not actually become a first-team regular and, you know, contributing on a regular basis. So... Maybe punting him in January is a bit harsh. I think maybe give him the season. But like you say, between now and January is a key time, because we've got all the players that we've got. There's nobody else is coming in. So you'd think with the level of games that we're going to be playing between now and then, and the relative experience that he has as a Celtic player versus the likes of Jota or Abada, you know, he has experience. Whether it's something that we should all be happy about, that he is an experienced, a guy like Mikey Johnson, who's not played a lot of games, is an experienced member of the squad, that he is. And he's been to these grounds, he knows the kind of the lay of the land, so to speak. So, we just have to wait and see. He has looked good at times, and he's got, you know, he's got pace, and he can beat a man. It's just about whether or not he does it with an end product. By the way, you know who that is in that picture, the Robert's profile picture? Do you know who that is, the captain?
I know the actual, it's from a magazine, isn't it?
It's Mad Magazine.
And Mad the guy Magazine, yeah.
It's Alfred E. Newman. And my uncle used to read Mad Magazine, had Mad Magazines all the time. Mad and Viz, that's what he, that was his thing. So it's weird seeing that. I've not seen that face for a long time.
I'm impressed with your knowledge there, I've got to say. Now, the point I would make, just on what you said, JP, Aldi is from Australia. You're just wondering how much hatred there is. What I would say on that point is, if anyone that I knew was so extreme in their view against Celtic or religion or politics, if they had extreme views, they wouldn't be your friends, you wouldn't associate with them. So what I tend to find is that me and anybody I know who are Celtic fans, who have associates who support Rangers, that answers your question. They're Rangers fans, so they're not bigots. So, you know, if they were a bigot, and, you know, it goes without saying in all walks of life, if someone was a bigot, you wouldn't associate with them anyway, JP. Mm. So I think that is probably the best way that I would look at that question. Now, with regards to the comments about me saying that James McCarthy should start tonight and play out of this this form, we're calling it form, it's one game. I mean, he only had three cameo appearances before that. I would ask the question, if it's not McCarthy, then who are the midfield players? Who do you play? Do you play with Sorrow, Turnbull and Rogic? Because I don't know if Turnbull and Rogic is the best option to play them both at the same time. I think that's becoming pretty clear. And then again, you start realising, JP, that there is a real dearth of options in the midfield area. So I've gone for McCarthy, Shaw, with Turnbull playing as a number 10. What really are the other options? I mean, Sorrow would be on the bench, but you're running out of options after that. Rogic might be your number 10. I don't think Sorrow, Turnbull, Rogic is a good mix either. I mean, that just shows you how thin and threadbare your squad is at the moment, doesn't it?
Despite what I said about Nir Beaton, I wouldn't be averse to Nir Beaton playing in midfield tonight if that was you know where his hands were tied towards. You know, like Beaton is an international midfielder. I'd far rather see him playing midfield than centre half. And in a game like tonight, if you were struggling in midfield, I wouldn't be averse. It was just the reason I was being critical of Beaton as a substitute coming on Sunday was like that wasn't what we needed on Sunday. Nir Beaton wasn't what we needed to come on and try and, you know, rile and win that game. But possibly to start tonight, it would be an option. But I would far rather James McCarthy played so that so that I can get a close look at him as a supporter, you know, just to watch him off the ball. You know, I don't think I've really, apart from Sunday, I've not had an opportunity really to see him play. And I never really saw him play that much in England because I didn't watch too many games that he was involved with Crystal Palace or Everton. Was it Everton?
Wigan, yeah. Crystal Palace, yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of their games, so I haven't got a massive, you know, database of knowledge of the guy and his career. So I'm just going to judge him on what he does in a Celtic shirt. And right now, he's not doing too great, but it's early days. And games like tonight is a game where he can sort of rebuild that confidence. And to anybody saying, oh, you can't start McCarthy, when do you start McCarthy? Did you just bin him? Is that his Celtic career over then because he had a bad game at Livingston? Like, the whole team didn't play well against Livingston. Well,
Julian had a nightmare at Livingston.
I know. And you know,
they were people, praying for his return.
I'm praying for his return, not like primarily for his defence. Well, yeah, for his defensive attributes, but we get so many corners and do nothing with them. At least Julian is there as a tall presence to win it. He's an easy target, you know. Like I've never played football at a high level, and I never will, sadly. But, you know, I take corners sometimes when we're playing sevens. I took corners on Tuesday night, and, you know, we had a big guy, Ekin, in our team. And all you do is just aim for the big guy. That's it. It's as simple as that. And if you've got somebody that's taking corners a lot more than I have ever done, then if you've got Julian in the box as a target, then you do that and you've probably got a good chance of scoring. Whereas at the moment, we've wasted so many corners. They've just sailed over those short corners I'm not a fan of. But yeah, I think, you know, Julian coming back. So after Julian's quote-unquote nightmare at Livingston, I wasn't calling for him to be dropped in the next game or binned or anything like that, you know. So I think people have to have a bit of compassion and cut people some slack, you know, and he's just in the door. And then we can make a judgment on him, you know, by mid-season or the end of the season or whatever, but not after one game.
There's a couple of really good comments that I'll bring up, but on the subject of Julian, before I do that, from what I've seen, and I know he's not played a great deal of games, Carter Vickers is your first choice centre-half at the moment. Some people might like Welsh playing alongside him, Starfelt when he comes back. When Julian returns, is he straight in the team? Does he go in beside Carter Vickers? I know people will say, you know, you'll play the team to face the opposition, etc. But you've got an idea of your first pick 11, JP. And we're kind of thinking Julian comes back, can't wait for him to come back and he'll get thrown in. Is that the case, do you think?
I mean, it depends how the team's playing at that point. So he's due back after the next international break, which somebody need to tell me when that is. I don't know how. I don't know at what point in October that is. Maybe it is at the weekend of the 10th. Because I remember I was going through my diary recently and there was no Celtic game that weekend. Mm. So maybe it's that weekend. So depending on the games leading up to that and how the defence is played, will determine whether or not he comes straight back in. But if you're asking me what my preferred centre-half pairing is, based on what I've seen in the past and also this season, it would be Carter Vickers and Julian at centre-half. You know, you've got a guy whose pedigree is from Spurs and has played with Spurs as an international. Is, you know, if we were to buy Carter Vickers, what sort of fee are you talking? You know, you're talking serious money, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. We paid $7 million for Julian, and I know it's not all about monetary, but usually monetary means that they're the better players. So if you're going to be completely cold-hearted and ruthless about it, then they are the two starting centre-halves. Whether or not that's good enough for us, I really hope it is, but... Yeah,
I'd agree with that. I would agree with that. I'm going to bring some of these comments up before we get on to the third Anton that we've mentioned in the show. Firstly, we have a couple of really good suggestions. Lanky67 reckons that McCarthy shouldn't play, but Henderson should get the shout with Turnbull and Shaw. Henderson seems to have been out of the picture recently.
You see his brother shot last night? I think it was last night.
Didn't actually.
No. Oh, he nearly scored an absolute worldie. He took it in midfield and then rattled the crossbar from about, must have been about 60 yards or something like that.
Always liked Liam Henderson. I did. Yeah. It was a shame. It was a shame. But, you know, he's doing okay for himself, isn't he? In nicer climes. Will McMillan, Sorrow isn't McCarthy class, you reckon? And here's one from Danny Payton. Essentially, McCarthy plays 90 minutes tonight. He is way off the pace, and the only way that he'll get up to speed is minutes on the pitch. So this is ideal. And I think that I'm not disrespecting opposition. It's a safer environment at home against a club who are a league below you to play McCarthy. If it goes wrong, you've got an option on the bench to swap it. Hopefully Ange doesn't wait 72 minutes to make the change, though. So yes, I was mentioning earlier on Anton McElhone, which brought up memories of Anton Rodgers, but the real Anton that I want to speak about is Anton Rogan. Now, Anton Rogan obviously was a Celtic player when I first started going to the games in 1987. He was what could be described as a cult hero. We did a poll a couple of years ago, and Anton Rogan was in most people's cult teams, JP. Now, he played for a spell when he was at Oxford United with Mickey Lewis, who unfortunately and sadly passed away earlier this year due to lung cancer at the age of 56. Now, there's a fundraiser at the moment ongoing, and the one and only Anton Rogan is raising funds for that Mickey Lewis Memorial Fund by dyeing his hair pink. So that's what Anton's doing. And what I've done is I've put a link underneath the video that we'll take you to the GoFundMe page, and they're sitting at just under 24 grand raised for cancer charities. So I think that's tremendous. Get on there, support Anton, who is dyeing his hair pink. I think he had a kind of strawberry blonde look about him, didn't he, JP, back in the day, Anton Rogan?
Yeah, he looked resplendent in the centenary kit. I remember him well with... overly short shorts, which they all had to wear at that time, as was the fashion. You should get an interview with Anton Rogan. That'd be good. Or have you done
it? I'd love to speak to Anton. That's a player I've never spoken to, is Anton Rogan. I'd love to speak to him. I think he runs a taxi firm down south, I believe. Going back to one of the other players that was mentioned earlier on, Sadie Janko is now with Real Valladolid. I know I'm probably not pronouncing that too well. Having spent a couple of loan spells at Nottingham Forest and Young Boys, he's also played for Porto, Saint-Étienne, as well, and he was at Celtic, having signed from Manchester United. So I think he's gone on and played pretty well and got a few decent moves. Just before we go, Ramon Vega was on Celtic, a Celtic State of Mind earlier on this year, And he said a few things that didn't really get much traction. One of them was that he wouldn't mind coming back as a CEO. He's back in the news because he's obviously seen an opportunity to bring this one back up. I don't think he will end up as Celtic CEO. He was a lovely fellow that day, and I loved having a wee chat with him. If we do go down the route, JP, of promoting from within and making the move for Michael Nicholson permanent, is it another sign, do you think, that this club is resistant to change? Are we just going to revert to type?
That's a tough one. These guys that are behind the scenes at Celtic, you know, obviously don't really know them, don't know much about them. We knew all about Dominic Mackay when he came in because it was so widely publicised, and, you know, every aspect of his career was poured over, and it was all out there, you know, like what he'd done, you know, where he'd been, obviously he told us at the fan pressers a bits about what he'd done and things like that. But, you know, this guy that's currently acting CEO, don't really know anything about him. He's not been dissected by the media in the same way that Dominic Mackay has been, because he's just come from within and he's just a name that's been appointed as the current acting CEO. So I don't know. I mean, there's obviously going to be trepidation now that we've attempted to appoint somebody from out with the football world and go for something a bit left field. Why that didn't work, I don't know. There's all sorts of rumours, as we know, that, you know, this, that, and the next thing. So I hope it doesn't stop us, you know, being ambitious in terms of who we're looking at in terms of candidates. Mm-hmm. I don't know when and when this will happen. Like, when are they going to look to do it? You know, are they just going to kind of tick it over until January or till the end of the season? Even it's just, I don't know. It's a really strange one. And it, when you actually stop and think about it and go, wait a minute, that guy was only here for a matter of, you know, months. And when you were saying about him congratulating Celtic State of Mind for the awards nominations, and then what, days later he's gone. It kind of feels like you're telling somebody you love them, and then a couple of days later, you know, you're like, I'm away with the next door neighbour or something like that. And I know I'm not suggesting that's what he's done, by the way. But I'm just trying to give a Kev Graham style analogy to what's happened, because, you know, if you've checked out of something, you wouldn't really think that you would be, you know, getting involved, like getting in touch with yourself or whatever. So it's a very, very strange one. I'm annoyed that we don't know, because we like to know everything about what's going on at the club, and we don't know it. We don't know about that. It's all speculation. So before we go, by the way, I just want to say hello to the Toronto CSC. I met someone who lived out there at Transmit, and he had been there during lockdown, and said that the guys at the Toronto CSC meet to watch the games, and they all watch A Celtic State of Mind. So brilliant. I was quite humbled to be to be recognised by somebody as a friend of a friend who came up and was just like, "Oh, you're on that Celtic State of Mind, aren't you?" I was like, "Aye."
That's brilliant, so, JP. I love to hear that.
Yeah, nice guy. So
brilliant. Aye. No, well, I cut you off last week because you were going to say it last week, and
I left it too late. So at least I've done it today. So,
listen, it's been a cracking show. JP and I will be joined very soon. I'm not going to tell you who by, but we are going to have a regular on a Thursday to replace Declan McConville, who's now over on Tuesday presenting A Celtic State of Mind. Well done to the competition winner. It's Patrick McFarlane, who has won the Shamrock Celtic Concept, Axon Concept jersey. Send me your address, I'll get it sent out to you. If you subscribe to A Celtic State of Mind on YouTube, you will be in for prize draws. If you're already subscribed, you're already in. You don't have to unsubscribe and come back in. If you're a subscriber, you're in the draw. Next month, it's a signed Bobby Lennox framed print. The month after that, it's a framed signed Danny McGrain Love Street jersey. Month after that, Danny McGrain's framed print. After that, Bertie Auld framed jersey. We've got loads to give away. So get in there and subscribe to A Celtic State of Mind on YouTube. It's always a pleasure. All that's left for me to say is thank you to JP Mason for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.